Want to talk tonight about a subject that's really hard for me to talk about. When I was a kid in elementary school, they did parent-teacher conferences. And in those days, teacher conferences meant that the teacher and the parents and the kid all sat together, and the teacher said what she thought, and the parents said what they thought in front of the kid. And you have to understand that I have an older sister who is like probably the smartest human being on earth. At least that's what I thought. She was valedictorian of every class she's ever been in. She's just really smart, and she's going to come visit me this week, and I'm going to throw things at her again and pull her hair and get even with her for being so smart and being ahead of me in class, because teachers had really high expectations of me. And so I remember, and of course, this was the days before you had things like ADD and learning disabilities and all those other things that we've come to understand. And I just remember that we were sitting in the parent-teacher conference, which, by the way, having the kid there was also bad because you got caught in all those little lies that you had told, you know, the dog ate my homework lies and all those things where, because the teacher would say, no, I never said that to you. And then your parents would say, well, you told us that that's what the teacher said. And, you know, so it just messed you all up. You could never just get away with anything. And so we were sitting there, and the teacher said, Rod just doesn't get his work in. He doesn't get it done. He doesn't finish it on time. He's not paying attention. He stares out the window. He's really very lazy. Now, you have to understand that in my, that's bad enough, but in my Dutch-American, Pella, Iowa, Midwest roots, Calvinistic tradition, to be lazy was like the worst possible sin. There were other sins. You could kill people and steal, but you know, that whole being lazy, that was awful. That was like the worst sin. And so I had this thing of being lazy, and so I vowed that I would not be lazy, and I would do prodigious amounts of work, but of course I would go off in my little ADD world, or I would go off in my little blind world, and I just wouldn't pay attention, and then I'd forget to hand in all this wonderful work I had done. And so I ended up still carrying the label. And my mom was good at quoting scripture, and one of the scriptures that she always quoted was Proverbs 6:6-11, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways, its ways, and be wise. And that was like the first thing that, I mean, I still think about that, and I still hear that whenever somebody says, you're lazy. Now, quite a few years ago, when the village was first forming, and we were kind of had different roles, and Eric and I were kind of co-pastoring, and I remember getting kind of stressed out by having one job and then working part-time for the village and working. And I remember at one point, the leadership very gently and kindly said, Rod, we'd like an account of what it is you do all day. Now, my ear heard that as, you lazy bum, you don't do enough, you never do enough, you're not working, you're not earning your keep, you're a bum, you're gonna end up a bum, because that's the message I got when I was a little kid. So I got outraged, and I said, I'm not gonna account for you, trust me, the leadership still remembers that night when I went on this rampage of rage, and they were stunned, because it never dawned on me that they were just gently thinking that maybe I did way too much and needed to slow way down. That never crossed my brain, that never crossed my mind. So I was upset, because when we were kids, if you were lazy, you would end up a bum. And we knew what bums were. Bums jumped off the train that went behind the property on our farm, and they came and they asked for a handout. And Mom would sometimes leave them some scraps of food or some old bread or you know, extra food that we would have laying around, and they would ask to sleep in the barn. And that would be, that was the life that you knew you were going to have if you were lazy. And so in that moment, I was a little kid, and then I was going to end up a lazy bum. I sort of come to realize that I'm lazy. But I'm lazy in a unique way, and we're going to talk about laziness tonight, and we're also going to talk about diligence and doing the right thing. And but I want to just read the rest of this little Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. That's the picture that we have of laziness, and that was my great fear. If you'd flip my screen. I want to talk about, first of all, what laziness is not. There are things that laziness is not, and sometimes I get all hooked up on what laziness is, but I forget what it isn't. Laziness is not legitimately resting. We need rest. Our bodies were designed to need rest. God created us to rest. As a matter of fact, He gave us one day in seven to rest. It's called the day of rest. It's a calling to rest, and you need to be resting. I hesitate to even talk about this whole subject tonight because, you know what? Some of you people who are lazy are going to think, boy, I'm glad he's nailing those people who don't do anything. And some of you people who are doing way too much are going to go, oh, I got to go do some more. I'm not doing enough. I am so lazy. And you know what? So whichever category you think you're in, listen to the other side, because that might be where you're really at. And kind of check with people in your community about whether you're doing too much or whether you're really actually lazy. We need rest. Our bodies need rest. We were designed to rest. God takes delight in our resting. He wants us to rest. He created us with that time to rest. So when you are legitimately at rest, that's good. That's okay. It's required. It's necessary. And that's not laziness. Getting your 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night is normal, natural, and you should long for it, and you should need it. And for those of us who get older, we need that little catnap in the afternoon, and that's okay. You'll need that later on. All you kids don't have any clue, but that day will come. And you'll kind of need that little half hour, 20-minute power nap, I always call them, you know, and then I'm good to go again. But your body needs rest. And so legitimately resting, please do that. Matter of fact, you are commanded to do that. You're ordered to do that. Part of taking Sabbath is resting. It's also worshiping God, putting your life before God, honoring God. But a very real part of that is resting. And by the way, it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not an opportunity. It's a commandment. So, as I often say, if you're not going to rest and take your Sabbath, then you might as well be killing people, sleeping with your neighbor's wife, and stealing stuff, because it's actually a commandment. We don't ever think of it as a commandment, but that's what it is. It's a real commandment. So be aware of that. Laziness is not the inability to do a task. There are things I simply cannot do that I am often asked to do, and I can't do them. And people say, often kind of tag people who are unable to do something with that label, lazy. That there are things that you cannot do is not a sign of laziness. It just means that you're differently gifted than someone else, that you have a skill set that's different than someone else. We often call this gift transference. We do this, right? So because Jeff is really good at fixing cars, his natural assumption could be that we should all be really good at fixing cars, because how hard is it? I mean, you just turn some wrenches and you figure out what's wrong with it, and it's really simple because it's easy for him The assumption is that it should be easy for everyone else. However, when I look at a car, I start getting the twitches because I don't know what goes wrong with them or why they go wrong. And by the way, the check engine light came back on. And so just so you know, and I have no clue why the check engine light comes on, and I'm perfectly happy to drive the car till it dies, you know, and then buy another one. But I know that he knows about them, or at least I did up until the check engine light came back on. And so I'm pretty happy with that. But it's a problem. It's a problem that I simply don't know how to do it, and I'm not capable of doing it, and I really have never learned to do that. I was never taught to do it. And so it's not, laziness is not the inability. I'm not lazy because I don't know how to fix cars. Somebody's laughing. Okay. It is not laziness to take delight in what God has given. God has given us good things, and he's given us rest, and he's given us a creation, and he's given us beauty, and he wants us to take delight in what he's given us. Because of the generosity of some lovely people, I have a hot tub on my back porch. I love the hot tub. I love to come home from work. I love to go sit out in the hot tub. I love to spend time talking to Kathy in the hot tub. I love just hanging out there. I love going at 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep to go out there and pray. Now, I was taught that when you pray, you have to suffer. But you know what? I pray for you people all the time, and I am so not suffering, okay? It is, except that I'm not sleeping. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I love praying for people, sitting in the hot tub, looking up at the stars with all that warm water, just, you know. I take delight. God gave me a good gift. It's a really nice thing to have. It's a pleasure to have. It's a pleasure to enjoy, and God gave us good things. God has given each of us good things to enjoy. Taking delight in them, spending time with them, enjoying them is exactly what he wants us to do. It is not laziness to take delight in what God's called you to take delight in, what he's given you, the gifts he's given you, the good things that he's offered you. He wants you to take pleasure. It's not laziness or sinful to simply take pleasure in the good things that God offers. Please enjoy the goodness of what God offers. And now, for you perfectionists, laziness is not about doing things perfectly. Perfectly. It's got to be perfect. Laziness, when we don't reach our standard, or when we don't reach the standard that we think we should have reached, or when we don't get to that point where we think it's exactly what it's supposed to be, then sometimes we think, well, we're just lazy. We're not committed to doing this project. I remember in art class, one of my art professors in college came and he just grabbed the canvas that I was working on off the easel and he said, "Rod, this painting is so done." And I said, but it's not perfect yet. He said, "It's as perfect as it's ever gonna get. It's done. Just stop it. Stop looking at it. Stop thinking about it. Stop dabbing paint on it. From here on out, you're just muddying it up, messing it up, and screwing it up, and it's gonna look awful. Stop it. Enough already, okay? You're not perfect. None of you are perfect, sorry to say. And just do good. Do the best you can. Offering good things is what you need to do, not perfection. It's not lazy to not have it exactly right. It's not lazy to have it exactly perfect. It's not lazy if you don't go to that huge extreme. Flip my screen. Laziness is. It's a choice. Laziness is a choice. It's knowing what needs to be done and refusing to do it. Knowing what God's called you to do, knowing what's expected of you, knowing what's required of you, and simply refusing to do it. It's a choice. We are lazy. It's always when we're confronted with something we simply do not want to do. We know it. We know it's expected of us. And by the way, there are things that are required of you that you don't want to do, okay? I mean, it's called work for a reason. It's called work because it's hard. It's called work because it's not always pleasant. It's called work because it's not fun. It's not delightful. It doesn't bring joy to us every moment of the day. So, but we become lazy when we know what we're supposed to do and we simply refuse to do it. Laziness is selfishness taken to extreme. Laziness is about, it's all about me. It's about my needs, it's about what I want, it's about my desires, it's simply about my pleasure and nothing else. It's selfishness, me thinking, and it's only about me. It shuts out everyone else. It's just about me. When you start getting into that mode of how does this benefit me instead of how does this benefit all the people around me or my family or the community, or, you know, and not that you have to not do things for your own benefit, we all do that, but that's kind of our natural state. So you don't have to worry about overdoing that usually, okay? Selfishness taken to the extreme, that's laziness. Taking a short-term view of life is laziness. Often we go, well, tomorrow, you know, procrastination. Tomorrow I'll take care of it. Tomorrow I'll put it off till tomorrow because tomorrow will be a better day, and then tomorrow never comes. And we get caught in that, what do I need today? What do I need to do to survive today? How do I get it? We don't take the long view of life. We don't plan ahead. We've talked about how that's affected wealth and how that affects like things like being able to have to pass on to your children and grandchildren, that we often, we take this short-term view of life. We say life is just while I'm here, it's just for this short term while I'm here, and it's not about the whole of life. It's taking too short or too small of a view of life. Laziness is hard on community. When you're self-focused and when you're lazy and when you're not pulling your weight, when you're not doing what you're supposed to do, when you're not offering what God's called you to offer, it's hard on community. Because what happens is other people in the community have to pick it up, and they weren't designed to do it, and they weren't created to do it, and they weren't made to do it, and it can create stress and it can create problems in community when we don't do the things that God's called us to do and designed us to do. Some of you do not believe, I'm sure, that you were designed to be in this community, that you have good things to offer this community. If I can say anything boldly and forthrightly and as truthfully as I can say it, you have beautiful gifts to offer this community, and God put you here for a reason. And it's to offer the things that you have that probably no one else has, or certainly has in the same way that you have, to this community. And you're withholding that because you're lazy or tired or would rather not, or are bored or just don't care. Withholding those things hurts the community. It hurts those who need the things that you have to offer and need the things that you only you can give and give rightly. Laziness is living in fear. When I think hard about my laziness, when I think hard about the laziness of my life and the areas of my life where I've been lazy, where I've chosen to be lazy, when I think about those places, most of those places are fearful places for me. They're scary places. They're places where I just don't want to act. There are places where I don't want to be. There are places that are going to require things of me that I don't want to offer, that I'm scared to offer. Fear is a huge motivator, but it's also the thing that restricts us and holds us back and keeps us from fully offering ourselves. I think laziness is often the result, sort of the end result of the beginning of that thing that began with a particular fear that we would not address. You need to address your fears. You need to address your fears, whatever they are. your inability to be in social settings, your inability to offer good gifts of hospitality, your inability to be gracious to your neighbors, whatever those things are, whatever you're afraid of, whatever you're terrified of, I don't know what they are, but whatever those things are, you need to begin to face those fears in order to overcome laziness. Laziness kind of results because we're afraid and we withdraw, and then it's just easier to stay withdrawn than it is to simply offer ourselves. I want to talk a little bit about selective sluggards. Selective sluggards are lazy people who live lives that are unbalanced. They're looking good in some areas while neglecting others, and they're lazy people who make excuses for their lack of diligence. I am selectively lazy. I am lazy about certain areas of my life. My life is unbalanced, and I don't think mine is the only life that's unbalanced. Part of our laziness is we choose to be lazy in certain areas. We are lazy in our uncomfortable areas, and then we overwork in some other area. We can do that with our job. You know, I don't like my home life, so I work lots of hours at my job, and it feels like I'm busy, and it feels like I'm diligent, and it feels like I'm giving good things and doing good things. And the truth is, I'm selectively lazy. I'm too lazy to deal with my spouse. I'm too lazy to deal with my children. I'm too lazy to deal with my house. I don't want to deal with those things. I want to let that relax and go however it goes, and I'll put all my time and effort and energy over here into work. We do that with our hobbies. Some of us do that with our families, right? I don't have time for anyone else because I'm so wrapped up in all the stuff I have to do with my family and my family's needs. We get selectively lazy. We're lazy in this area while we look really good in this area. The really cool thing about doing this is that people don't know you're lazy. People don't see that you're a slacker in some area. They don't see your sluggardness, you know? They don't see that you're a slug here. They see this burst of energy over here and they think, wow, that's really good. That's really great. That's awesome. That person is doing a great job. If you find yourself making lots of excuses, and I'm talking about excuses. Now, we all have reasons why we don't get things accomplished or reasons why we don't do things, but I'm talking about listen to yourself as you make excuses for why you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Listen to those excuses. It's really funny because I listen to people's excuses a lot, and when I listen to them, I'm always sort of amused because I can instantly think of the way around that excuse. I can instantly think of, well, you should have just done that. And it's often, you know, for those of you who know that I'm not the world's greatest counselor, I often tell you, you know, because I don't let you discover it. I just say, that's what you should do. And you know what? When I make my flimsy excuses to you, you kind of know about that's just a flimsy excuse. You know, if you're constantly late to work, there's a real good cure for that. You just leave earlier, you know? It's not really hard. It's not rocket science. You don't have to, I was late because of the traffic, and then the next day you're late because, you know, you got to kind of cycle the excuses, because otherwise you use the same one every day. They start wondering about you. So one day, you know, you had a fight with your wife, and the next day you had, there was traffic problems, and the third day the dog ate my homework or whatever. You know, we have excuses. Analyze your excuses. When you are not doing those things that you're supposed to do, think about your excuses. What are the real excuses that you're offering? What's the truth? And what could you have done about it? Often we're very selective in how we are sluggards. If you'd flip my screen. Here's some excuses not to bother with, because they're already discounted. I'm tired. It's really not an excuse. Sleep more, rest when you're supposed to rest, do less of things that are unnecessary, stop messing with I'm tired. Another excuse is for my laziness is other people have it much better than I have it. I have a right to sit in my high tub for days on end without ever doing anything because I know a rich guy who can do that. And so he has something I don't have, and so I have the right, because other people have it better, I have the right to have what they have and in my setting. Don't even bother with that excuse. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. I love these passages in Proverbs 22:13 says, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets. And Proverbs 26, the sluggard says, there is a lion on the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, as a sluggard turns on his bed, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. There's a lion. I'm going to get murdered. When we're lazy, when we confine ourselves to our beds, when we just lay around, when we're sluggards, we make up the most preposterous ideas about why we don't do what we know we're supposed to do. We come up with brilliant, amazing, stupid-sounding excuses. Okay, if there really is a lion in the street, and therefore you can't go out, you're not really lazy, see, you're just, there's a lion out there, and the lion will get me. Well, perhaps if there really is a lion out in the streets, maybe your job was to join the Jerusalem Lion Hunting Club and go hunt lions. You know, maybe you're supposed to be part of the lion removal team. Who knows what God's actually calling you to do, but you don't give us a chance. You're afraid. And this goes back to the fear thing. The same is, I will be murdered. I could die. Horrible things could happen to me. If I give up this life of safety, because ultimately that's what we think it is, being lazy is a safe place. If I sit in my bed, if I just lay in my bed, if I don't deal with it, maybe it will all just go away. Well, it won't go away. There are tigers and bears and lions and all those horrible things out there. Life is hard. And when we live life, and when we live out in this world, and when we live in community, and when we live out of our little places, it is hard. And scary things happen. Sad things happen. Bad things happen. Laziness says, I'm going to avoid all that. The truth is, you can't. I could die, yes. But mostly we will die from laziness anyway. Most of us will just die from boredom. I mean, laziness ultimately is a very boring, very shallow, and very empty life, and it leads to depression, and depression feeds on itself, and trust me, I've been in the black hole, and you just get, it just spins down, and it just gets darker and darker. It doesn't get better. It never gets better. There is that time when you have to pull out of the black hole, and you have to choose life, and that means not being lazy. That means being diligent. That means going to work. If you flip my screen. I want to take a little side trip. And I want to take this little side trip because I love my wife, and many years ago I wrote a song for her called My Proverbs 31 Wife, and no, I will not sing it for you. And so you're safe. But I read that in those days with seeing my wife in every one of those things and seeing the characteristics of my wife in Proverbs 31. Wives should read this. And there's something amazing about, like, when I was preparing this message, I was, you know, finding all the synonyms for laziness and all the, you know, associated words of working. And I kept popping up with Proverbs 31, and I thought, but that's the Proverbs 31 wife thing. But I just want to read it very quickly for you. And then Proverbs 31, starting with verse 10, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax. What? Whose birthday? So one of the kids is going to have a birthday? All right. Woohoo! What? Oh, she brought a cake. It's her birthday. Oh, she just brought a cake. Awesome. Where was I before that wonderful interruption? She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. I love this. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Before dawn and into the night, a woman works. She works with her brains, buys, sells, trades, negotiates, works with her brains and works with her hands. She puts her hand to the stuff to make cloth and to sew. And her children and her husband bless her, praise her, and God rewards her. I think when I read that, I just get exhausted at all that this woman accomplishes and all that she does. And I'm thinking, okay, there are no such women in this world, but there are. And these are the things that women do. And so I wondered why the emphasis on what a woman of noble birth does and what a noble woman does, what she's called to do. And I wondered why the emphasis on all this work and this labor and this the abilities that she has, like, why is that so important that it gets written about? And I suspect that it's easy for us to be lazy in our comfortable places, for us to be lazy in our homes, for us to be lazy when we're just close to where our bed is, close to where the couch is, close to where the places to relax and the places to let down our hair are. And so that the particular warning here is a warning to, when you are close to those places, you have to be even more aware of not being lazy, of being industrious, of being diligent in your work. And now, before I get in trouble, let's flip the screen again, if I'm not already in trouble. The joys of diligence. This is the one great thing about diligently working with your hands and doing what you're called to do, and that's that you have to give to those in need. Ephesians 4:28 says, "He who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." Part of the joy of working is that you have to share with those who are in need, who are struggling, who need help. By the way, we all go through those phases and those stages in our life when we need a hand, when we need someone to help us out. And the joy of working hard is that in those moments, in those times, you actually have what you need to be able to offer to help. And to offer that help generously. And I think that's, personally, that's one of the greatest joys of working hard, is the ability to help others. You have what you need when you need it. When you store things, when you invest things, when you work hard, you have what you need when you need it. I'm always amazed at people who live wisely in this area, that you know, the refrigerator goes bad, they have the wherewithal to get another refrigerator. The car goes bad, you can bring it to Jeff and write checks, and you actually have money in the account to cover the check, which Jeff really appreciates, and so that you actually have what you need in that moment when you need it. That it's okay, you actually have it. There's a good deal of respect that happens when you work hard. Even in our culture today, those who work hard are often honored and respected and appreciated. And all of us know, when people aren't working hard and we have to deal with them, how miserable and upset we get. You know, you try to order a hamburger and the person doesn't want to cook your hamburger and doesn't care about your hamburger and is talking, you know, to their friend across the counter, and you're just trying to get your hamburger for lunch and you just want to get out of the restaurant and get back to work, but this person has other things they're doing. We don't respect people who are lazy or who are goofing off or just, particularly when we're in need or when we want what to purchase or to buy the things we need. So you'll be respected. You will enjoy the seasons of life. I think part of working hard is that as you go into the various seasons of your life, you can enjoy those seasons. I know for, you know, some of us, who are older, we fear retirement. For those of you who are coming out of college, you're fearing, you know, employment. What do I have to do? What's next? Where do I go after this? What's going to happen? But that when you're hard at work and when you're diligent in your work, you can simply enjoy this season knowing that you're doing what you can. And primarily and hugely and most importantly, you will offer good things in the kingdom of God. Hebrews 6:10 through 12 says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." 2 Thessalonians 3:6-13. "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Ultimately, our work is the work of the kingdom. It's not to just feed our stomachs and to meet our needs. It's the work of the kingdom. And that work requires diligence. I want to talk just a little bit about that diligence. Diligence is not about doing things perfectly. It's not about doing things even well. It's not being the best. It's not about doing things that... it is about just being steady, being consistent. In the generation in which we now live, there is neither respect for the worker, nor is there the work that just lasts forever. I was in Phoenix last week and talking to my father-in-law, and he was a tool and die man who worked for the same company for 43 years, you know? 43 years of steady employment. They took care of him, he took care of them. That kind of diligence just doesn't exist in the culture in which we live. Matter of fact, the job, I've had 8 or 10 jobs, you know, and 5 or 6 completely different careers in my life, simply because there's this constant change. But in the kingdom of God, diligence is about offering the good things that you have the best way you can to the community that God surrounds you with and to the people around you that you meet every day. Advancing the kingdom is what it's all about. Questions, thoughts, ideas, pushbacks? Probably. Probably. There's always snow in the desert.
When you were saying about the wife in the house doing, or the mother of the church doing a lot of work from before sunrise to after sunset, I forgot how you said it.
Okay.
I remember this woman's comment. She came here a few days ago, and because she got married, and I called her on the phone, and then she said, "Oh, I didn't know marriage was so time consuming."
Right. Yeah, definitely true. Anyone else? That's why that's kind of what I asked about, you know, if you're sure you're lazy, then ask people around you. And if you're sure you're not lazy, then ask people around you. Like, you may get an alternate opinion and listen to that. I think laziness is always, you know, laziness impacts. You know, we think laziness just impacts me. I'm not doing anything. But withholding what we are and who we are and what we have from community impacts the community. And I think that laziness can come from a lot of different things, but yeah, I think it's both and. Right, yeah. Yes. but then you have to feed your servants too, so that's just more mouths to feed.
I like, when I look at my life, I can say I'm not lazy, but I can't say I'm not selectively lazy.
Right.
I don't really like that a lot. That's just going to make me think, because I think I like the idea of laziness being based on fear a lot of times. Oh, I can't deal with my family, but I can deal with work, or I can't deal with this particular person, so I'll be lazy in this relationship if I don't want to deal with it. I'm just kind of going to do something else, busy myself.
Right. Right. Anyone else? Emily. I really like that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and I can't serve on the PTA, but I'll do this thing, you know, and to know your gifts and to do that again, I love that. That's great. Thanks for that. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I confess my laziness in not advancing your kingdom and not offering myself in the places where I could and should and that you've called me to. I confess being selectively lazy, choosing where I will not engage. And Father, I just, on behalf of this community, I ask that you be gentle with us as we confront our own laziness, as we deal with our diligence and our inability to diligently pursue you and your kingdom. And Father, I just pray that you would give us grace in all this, and that in all this we would know that we are dearly loved, and that you cradle us and care for us and hold us close. In Jesus' name, amen.